Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and the guy's been hiding from me. I can't find him, but I finally grabbed hold of him, and it's my man Dan Stesich from Athena Private Wealth. Welcome back, Dan. What's up?
How much? You can only hide under a rock for so long before you sniff me out.
You and Saddam Hussein, baby, we'll get you all. You know, you guys can all go hide under those rocks, but we'll find you. So
I just don't want the same ending.
No, well, maybe. Well, let's see how the show goes first, and then we'll decide on what kind of ending we're going to give you. So, Dan, number one, let's first talk about some of the things that you love to talk about, and you have been, you know, on the show many times, and you were bullish for a while, you were bearish for a while, you were neutral for a while. But one of the things that always came to your concern was first GDP and growth of GDP and things like that. Last week or so, we had a GDP number, which I don't think was very good, but interpret it for me and tell me what you think.
That GDP number was lousy. And you know, They're explaining a lot away from inventories, and I'll buy that to an extent. You know, that would have added something. But here's the problem I have with the GDP. You get a quarter or two, in this case only one quarter, but we get a quarter or two of decent numbers, and all of a sudden we fall back. So even if we get 2.5% growth in the fourth quarter, it's going to be the 10th year that we've had sub 3% GDP growth. That's just not acceptable. Why is this happening? The markets just aren't able to get any traction, and that puts a little bit of fear in me as to what's going on, why they can't get out of this rut.
Now, you know, over the years, and, you know, going back to when I first started in this business, you know, I was always told, and it was always kind of understood, that the markets were forward-looking. The stock markets were forward-looking, you know, 6 to 7 months ahead of time, and they were pricing things that were going to happen. Well, we've been on this major pricing, you know, for basically 7 years now, of where we keep, you know, the markets keep moving up, pricing in potential, you know, good news or good things to come. And yet we really haven't seen that come yet. What is it? What do you make out of it? Is that a true statement as a rule? What do you make out of it? And what do you think?
Well, in this case, it's absolutely true. We're not seeing anything come out of it. Typically the market is forward looking, but if you look at what we've seen over the past 7 years, nothing's come to fruition, and it's we keep hoping on hope. I'm going to give a nasty analogy, and I might get some people mad, but it's like the Cubs. Wait till next year. I mean, how many years are we going to wait? Are we going to have to wait 108 just like they are? I hope not. But something's got to change. I think the political climate in this country over the past 6.5 years, and nobody one side or the other is entirely responsible. The political climate in general has been toxic, so nobody's able to get things done. Businesses are uncertain as to what the next move is going to be, what the next regulation is going to be, what the next tax is going to be. So they're not making any plans. They're hoarding cash, which is what we've been seeing going on. Should we ever get out of this malaise and this nonsense that these politicians have been putting us in, then maybe all that extra cash hoard will help out. People will start investing again, but it's not happening now.
Now, you've been a guy that has said to me, over time, as I continue to say that, look, you know, I can't fight the market. I can't tell you when it's going to go down. I do believe that, you know, mathematically there's a collapse coming just because it always does. Not for any particular reason now, but one of your arguments was always you're seeing a lot more building. You're seeing a lot more cranes in the street, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Are you still seeing that? Is that still something that you're watching?
You know, yeah, we are. I mean, it's leveled off here, but that's what really confusing me about this. The figures that are coming out are completely opposed to each other. We'll go back to GDP. GDP was lousy. The ISM manufacturing that we had last week was it wasn't lousy, but it was 50.1, which is just above growth. On the other hand, the services side of the economy, and this is also a negative, came out very strong at 59.1. Almost all components come out. And 70% of our economy is based on services. However, the services side of it have typically lower paid employees. So if you're not, if you see the manufacturing side go up and some of these big manufacturing jobs come back that pay good money, then they'll be out spending money in the streets. That's not happening with these lower paid jobs. Now, one thing I do find encouragement in is you and I have spoken about this in the past. A year ago, I told you that the gas prices were going to help, and you said, no, people are going to pocket it. And you were right. Up until this last couple quarters, consumer spending has gone up over 3%. That's an encouraging sign, but is it a one-time blip? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to keep an eye on that. So maybe some of this gas price savings is finally flowing through, but it sure took a long time.
Well, where are you seeing the spending? I mean, help me out. I'm not really seeing it, so tell me where you're seeing it.
Well, I'm just basing it on GDP figures. Consumer spending went up 3.2%. And if you look, you know, they're talking about the earnings season, which we're in, and estimates are being beaten, but it's been on lower estimates. But the fact is, year over year, they have increased a little bit, just not as great. So some of the firms out there, they're making some decent money. You look at Michael Kors. They came out this week with earnings that are really strong. Now, that's a luxury retailer. I don't know if that can tell much of anything because that's not the general public. But people are spending a little bit of money, a little more than they have because probably of lower gas prices.
Okay. I don't buy that part of it, but again, it certainly could be possible. I mean, one of the problems I see is that people are just not making as much money as they were. And unfortunately, we have no inflation based on the cockeyed way we do math. But of course, you and I both know that when you go to the grocery store, you're paying more. You're paying more for your heating bill. And although gas has come down quite a bit, you're still paying a lot of money for gasoline and energy. So where is it? Where's the fallacy in my argument, and how is that going to improve?
Well, I mean, that's a big question. I do agree with you that inflation certainly is way higher than what they're expecting or what they're saying out there. And it does make things a little more difficult, but every little bit of help comes through. In this case, it'll be gasoline prices primarily because, and we've talked about this before, you go to the pump, I have a big SUV. Normally I pump $100. I pump a full gas in almost an empty tank for just over $50. So that's a significant saving. I went and bought a donut next door. I felt comfortable.
Now, the question is, wouldn't you have bought that donut anyways?
No, you know what, Todd? Honestly, in this case, I probably would have. But there had been times when gas was over $4 a gallon. When I'm sitting, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right next to my gas station, and I want to go get a cup of coffee and a donut. And you know what? I just pumped $120 of gas into this thing. I'm not going. So price does have an influence on your behavior. In this case, I'm going a little overboard because gas was so cheap. But when it was on the high side, I did step back.
Well, come to my Dunkin' Donuts because you're an AARP member as well, and you get a free donut with coffee when you go there. So, you know.
Oh, I'm going to have to go to yours. They're not giving you a free one. You look much older than me.
Well, that's true. But, you know, again, you know, I've been through the wars. You know, I'm fighting, right? You're just hanging. So, you know. Dan, it is funny though, and we look up at all the things that are going on, and you know, one of the things I want to talk to you when we come back from the break is about jobs, because you know we hear about the jobs number, and of course you know we have one coming up here, and I find it interesting that we continue to hear how good the jobs number is, but in my opinion, they suck. But we're going to ask Dan and get his take on the jobs when we come back from the brink. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with our friend, most of the time, Dan Stesich from Athena Private Wealth. You can also catch him on Varney on Wednesdays and a number of other media outlets because he is the big angry redhead. He is the man, and he is also a good friend of the program. And he's out there for you, and make sure you check him out at Athena Private Wealth. That's our man, Dan Stesich, as well as make sure you check out thebubbashow.org and make sure you look into our hedging program because, again, Dan will tell you later that there's nothing like being able to sleep at night, having a good, solid base portfolio, and being ready to go. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Dan Stesich. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with my friend and man, Dan Stesich from Athena Private Wealth. And so, Dan, you know, I tell you, I look at the jobs number and I don't care what they print, 200, 100, you know, and we know ADP was 185 or whatever it is. That ain't enough. It isn't good enough. And the jobs they're creating suck. And to go one step further before you answer, over the last year, we've lost about 150,000 high-paying jobs, which if you would calculate that out by the wage that people are earning on the new jobs that they're getting, that would equate to about 400,000 to 500,000 jobs of what we've lost. So tell me why they continue to brag about a growth of 200,000 jobs.
Well, politically, it's in their favor to brag about it. I agree with you on almost all these issues. We have a labor force participation rate that is the worst since the 70s, the Carter administration. And, you know, some people try to attribute it to baby boomers retiring. I mean, that's a little bit of it, but probably less than half. Certainly, I would guess nearer a quarter. So what's the reason for that? And it's people are getting very frustrated. As far as the jobs being created, you talk about the high-paying jobs, and a lot of those were in the energy field. And those did fade away. That's big money that needs to be spent out there, and the jobs being created right now. And here's where I'll digress a little bit with your thinking. The jobs being created, and typically in the, and here's where I'm going to contradict myself too, I guess. In the early part of a recovery, you always have these lousy jobs come back first. Well, we're 6.5 years supposedly into a recovery, and we're not seeing them. So that's a bit of a problem. What's it going to take to get us back? I think the other thing we have to look at is employees are feeling more comfortable about leaving the firm they're with and finding another job. That's always a positive sign. This should have happened years ago, and it has. So I don't know, and I've said this for the last 3-6 months now, maybe this is the start of something. But just like GDP, you get a little bit of a good figure, and then all of a sudden something falls back. So we have some serious labor problems in this country, and it goes back to our first discussion early in the program here, and that's just the toxic environment that this whole country is in right now politically and the uncertainty that it creates.
Well, I mean, I think our government is toxic, but I want to argue the point a little bit about people are willing to leave their jobs. I mean, right now the jobs are so crappy, it's hard not to want to leave the job because nobody's making. You're not seeing a lot of the big high-paying jobs people moving. You're seeing people in middle-level jobs moving around, but those jobs are such. They pay so little that what good is it anyway? So it doesn't really matter whether you choose to leave that job or not. What do you say?
Well, no, I agree. It isn't the high-paying jobs. It's the middle-tier jobs. But some of those middle-tier jobs go up to the upper-paying, and some of the lower-tier go to the middle. It has to be more aggressive, and that's not happening right now. So we're kind of in agreement. We're just different pages of the same chapter, I think, right now.
Well, you know, I got to look at it. I haven't looked at it from a realistic point of view, okay? Now, again, it doesn't make me right. I never want to, you know, make anybody think that I know that I'm 100% correct in what I'm saying. But when I look around and I see the view of what I'm looking at, I go, this does not look very appetizing. There is not creation of jobs of the people that need to work and the people that need to make the real money that are now out of the workforce. They're not getting jobs that are going to be created to help them. So you're seeing them, a bunch of them spend time working at McDonald's. And there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's when you need the money. Listen, when you're supporting your family, you do whatever you have to do to get them to make money. It doesn't matter where you work. But I think that there's not enough good things happening. And I think we're figuring out more ways to cut out workers. And I don't think anybody cares. I think that's even a bigger problem because we've got our geniuses at work in Washington figuring out ways to try to tax more and take away more from the people that really need it. What do you say?
No, I agree with you there. And what we do need is the ability for these lower-level workers to move into that middle-tier position. And we need two things. The first is we need GDP growth to increase on a sustainable level above 3%. For more than one quarter, more than two quarters, for that matter, it's got to be above 3% for, you know, a year or two. And I'd like to see some stuff close to 4%. And here's the problem with it. I think we're going to circle back to this each and every argument, Todd, is our political environment. We've got 16 more months, 14, 16 more months of this administration, and nothing's going to happen. He's set in his ways. The Republicans are set in their ways. Ryan has the new Speaker of the House might show a little more flexibility in being able to get things done, but I'm highly doubtful. It's just so bad right now. They don't care. They want to make the other party look bad because we have a presidential election coming in. Obviously, the Republicans want it so they can implement all their policies full force, and the Democrats want, you know, another 4 years or 8 years of what we've seen for the past 6.5, which I completely don't understand, because all in, it just sucks. There's no way around.
So, Dan, you mentioned we need, you know, 3-4% growth, and of course, you know, it's hard when you get to be as big as we are. It is hard to stimulate that type of growth. I know we need it, but again, it is much harder to stimulate that growth. What do you see as the possibility of that growth being created? And if you were the guy that could help make the decision, what do we need to be doing to get that kind of growth?
Well, two things. We need to be proactive in our tax stance. Think about how many inversions you have going out in companies. Companies are facing overseas because they're not paying any taxes, and the government doesn't like this, but there's nothing they can do about it. So rather than get 35% of whatever they're getting, we're getting 35% of nothing right now because it's going overseas. Let's correct that code somehow, and let's just use 15% for the sake of argument. 15% of something is better than 35% of nothing. That brings money back. Companies invest. And when they have money, they invest in their products and try to get things going again. It also makes products cheaper because we have better environment, better competition here. And then you also, I mean, this whole tax thing right now is just killing us. And the other problem is the regulation that's being slapped on these companies over and over and over again. And I'm not against all regulation, but we have to be sensible about regulation. Nobody's willing to do anything right now because they're fearful of the next shoe that's going to drop, whether it be environmental or anything like that. Those have to change. Will they change? Hopefully with the new administration, we might see some more central tendencies go to where the bulk of this country is. But I don't see it, especially I'm very fearful if Hillary Clinton gets in, we're just going to have another Obama by proxy for 4 more years. She's not a good candidate. She's not a good person. She doesn't have what this country needs to get this country rolling. If it were her husband, I almost think I wouldn't mind seeing Bill Clinton in for 4 more years. Because when he was in, despite being a liberal, he did a lot of things here and worked with Republicans. Hillary Clinton won't.
Well, she's a nasty woman anyways. I mean, you know, it's a good thing that Halloween just passed by because she could have gone as what her favorite character is. But, I don't like her. I think she's a crook. I think she's a bad person. In my opinion, again, I'm not speaking facts. I do know some facts that prove some of my point. But at the end of the day, I do not believe in who she is. And again, I look, whoever's going to win is going to win. But she would be, in my mind, would be a disaster for this country because by the time she would be out of office, we would have only a two-class system because Obama's very successfully wiped out a big majority of the middle class already. What do you think?
Well, he certainly hasn't helped it. You have a middle class that's just muddled along. I think, we're making less money now than we were when he went in. So, no, the middle class has gone down. I don't think it's entirely or even halfway faded away, but it's not what it should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, he's just, look, I don't like him either. And I don't like him not because of he's a Democrat. I don't like him because he's a liar. He's a guy that's an antagonistic president that really pretends to know something. And really, and other than being a smart person from a academia standpoint, really knows nothing and does not react, in my opinion, correctly to the situations that are happening in the world. And has done a very poor job. But the biggest thing is all the things that he promised, his change. I'm going to change everything. He changed nothing but made it tougher for the average entrepreneur, a capitalist, to be able to go out and make money. What he has done, in my opinion, is trying to turn us into a socialist economy and where we can get nothing from it. But as always, I talk a little bit too much, but we're coming up to a break. But before we go to break, Dan, I want you to think about this. I think we're coming into a very serious cause of deflation. And when we come back, I want you to tell us why that could be a problem, or maybe you don't think it is one, but we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. I'm with Dan Stesich from Athena Private Wealth at 847-299-8877. Check him out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, my friend, Dan Stesich, the big angry redhead, Athena Private Wealth. Check him out, 847-299-8877. Check him out. They're willing to look at your portfolio just to help you out. And we're going to talk more about what they're doing. But right now, Dan, the commodity world, we are deflating into nothing. We're like the Wicked Witch. We're like Hillary Clinton. We're like the Wicked Witch that poured water on us. We're melting. And, of course, is that a good thing or a bad thing for the economy?
You know, it depends. In classic definition, it's bad because people will put up purchases thinking they can get things cheaper in the future. I don't think that's necessarily the case here. You had a big run-up over many years in all commodities, and that's taken back. One thing you have in oil right now, and oil will be the best classic example, is that you have an oversupply of oil because demand is still there. Demand is still increasing, just not as great a rate. So people still want it, but they're getting it at lower prices. As far as food, they kind of overdid themselves. All the hedge funds and the speculators were all going into all the grains, the agricultures, and trying to take advantage of the fact that everybody was putting money to where it was working. Commodities happened to be the thing. I think we're probably muddling along here. And if you look at inflation, deflation, however you want to talk about it, and you even stated this yourself early on, the inflation that we state in this country isn't there. There is commodity deflation right now, but the inflation that the average consumer faces is still there. It's not showing up in the official figures because they kind of judge those things screwy. And we all know that from week to week on our expenses.
So, you know, I think that deflation is bad because I think that in this world, in a capitalistic society, the manufacturer or the producer has to be able to make money. The retailer, everybody all the way up has to make money. And yes, the consumer pays more. But at the end of the day, that's what keeps an economy smooth flowing. That's what keeps people employed. And when you continue to cut away at those potential, you end up in the crapper. What do you think of that?
Well, if that does happen, but I mean, I'll ask you yourself right now. Are you paying less for food now? Are you paying less for clothes now? The only thing you're probably paying less for is any type of electronic equipment, and that's because it gets cheaper every year. And that's not deflation. That's just reality. It's cheaper to make the product, but they still make a lot of money off a cheaper product.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, again, but the point is that the only person, like right now, the only ones who are coming out well in this environment are places like Starbucks, because they never lower their prices, and coffee's at lows it hasn't seen in years.
Well, I know whenever I go there, the prices go up. A few years back, this is interesting because we were talking about commodities right now. Coffee prices were at record low and Starbucks' increase in price of a million. How are they getting away with this one? I've never seen them drop prices because coffee prices have gone down. But in the recent increase we've seen, they were real quick to state that coffee prices went up, so we have to raise our prices.
It's a bunch of hog shit, and I don't get it, and I hate them for it, but... But what I do love is I love Dan Cesage and what he represents. And Dan, tell us about what you guys are doing over at Athena right now and some of the things you're looking at and how you're kind of looking at portfolios right now.
You know, we're an investment advisory, a financial planning outfit. And basically what we try to do is make decisions so you can sleep at night. And in this type of environment, you know, we just been muddling along. There's so much going on, good, bad, that we try to keep you down the center of the road. And diversification is the key. Todd, you know this through investing over time. You can't put everything into one asset class. You got to kind of spread it around. And one thing that we try to explain to any customer is that, you know, a couple of years ago, we saw the S&P go up 26%. And our portfolios didn't match that 26%. But we had to point out to them that, no, we didn't match 26% because we didn't have everything in those indexes. Now, I'd love to be able to say, yeah, I can do that, but I can't. So what I have to worry about is, okay, what about a downturn? And then the next year, we didn't have the same type of increase in our diversified portfolio work. In a downturn a few years back, when the markets really got hammered, our stocks did come off. They didn't come off as much as the indexes. So this is what we try to do, long-term planning, so that over the course of 10, 15, 20 years, by the time you're ready to retire, your assets have grown at a decent level that'll provide for a good retirement for you.
Now, I mean, isn't that the most important thing when you really get down to it? An investor is exactly that, and look up the definition. But when you're investing, you're not looking for a return tomorrow. Yes, you want to make money all the time, but is not the key to investing the ability to A, be invested and have the money grow over time and organically grow, coming through, as you know, I like to use the endowment or the compounding model. You know that you can't make it every single time, and every gyration in the market is not going to help you. But if you continue to let it grow over time, it will multiply, because portfolios do compound if you leave them alone and you can sleep at night without touching and playing with them. What do you think?
Well, that's the key to it, Todd. And it's hard to convince people. You know, you always want to be as good as the next guy, and the next guy in this instance is what we have in the indexes. So what we try to do, as I said earlier, compound your money, look at it over time. And historically, if you invest your money in equities in a fair and balanced portfolio, you're going to do quite well, certainly better than the rate of inflation over time.
Well, not only better than the rate of inflation, but the better than any rate, because, again, you know, people forget. You know, we always hear, and this is one of the things I hate about the media, okay, not our media, but the media, is that they always become glamorous and glitzy on, you know, let's say the Netflix of the world, or, you know, the Teslas of the world, whatever happens to be the hot stock at the time. In the meantime, most people were probably invested in Walmart and Caterpillar, and those two stocks are down 30 to 40% for the year. So, you know, if you were invested in what we would call the safe stocks, you would not be very happy right now. But when you create a model very similar to what you guys try to do, it's to be well balanced so that your portfolio can overcome a disaster of a Walmart or of a Caterpillar or of something like that. Would that not be a correct statement?
Yeah, and you know, it's important. You point out cat and deer and those, and they have been getting hit bad because we have a lot of economic uncertainty out there, growth problems in China, growth problems in Europe. So if you're in your 60s, you don't want those type of stocks. You got to get into safer investments. That's another thing. We have to look at your age, where you are in terms of retirement, and put you there. But if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, even early 50s, you look at Caterpillar or Deere. Are they going out of business? No. And when the economies do recover, and they will recover, they always do, those stocks will do quite well. So you have to almost bury your head in the sand during these bad times. It's terrible to see your assets go down. But the reality is, what's it going to be 5 years from now? In 5 years from now, you're probably going to be okay.
Well, I mean, I think that's an important point to make to everybody, Dan, is that, you know, the market itself, the stock market goes up 9% year over year. It doesn't go up every year. And if you're investing in good, solid companies, okay, you know, now we won't call Walmart a good, solid growth company, but they're a good, solid, steady company that has minor growth because obviously they're so big. I mean, I don't think that the agriculture community is going to shut down. So Caterpillar is probably still a reasonable player. Deer, either one, they're both in similar industry. If you have to stay the course and stay the plan, which means when you're investing, you cannot be leveraging up to one particular play. You have to take it pretty much across the board throughout different industries to make sure that you're capturing when the good industries are going good so that you can overcome when some of the other stuff is going bad. Is that something you guys do as well?
Yeah, you know, and the key is, and you pointed, you said the right word, investing. We're investors here at Athena. We're not speculators. We're not traders. If you're a day trader, we're not where you want to go to because you have your own views on it. But if you're an investor, we're going to put you into asset classes that are specific to your age level and your risk level, and then let it run from there. And obviously, we're going to monitor these things. There are times when you have to get out of certain equities, but we can help you with that decision. If you don't feel comfortable with something, we can talk you through that particular position. If you still don't feel comfortable, then we make a change. It's not that hard to do. But the thing is, we have to keep an eye on it, and we have to speak on a regular basis, whether it be quarterly or monthly. Whatever you need to be done, we can take care of it.
So how do we get a hold of you, Mr. Sesage?
You can call us at area code 847-299-8877. Ask for me, and if I'm not around, get my voicemail, or you can get me on my Athena Private Wealth website. I have a quarterly commentary. I have some of my videos up there. And it also has my email address. Just send me anything you want. I'll get back to you. I guarantee it.
And, of course, Dan, they will, and they do a nice job. And, again, they're not telling you that you have to come and sign with them. What they want you to do is they want to take a look and help you evaluate your portfolio. And they may be a great fit for you. They may not be. But you never get hurt by making the call to talk to somebody to see what their opinions are of what you're doing, because it's always important in this industry to understand what you're doing and understand what your manager is doing and make sure that you both have a good solid fit, because at the end of the day, we know one thing, that you have to always defend against the crisis, but being able to sleep every night and not having to worry about the financial collapse, which is impending, okay, is the more important thing. Because, Dan, I'm going to ask you this as we get ready to go to break. I believe that history has shown us that there's going to be another financial collapse. Okay, now again, this is not me worrying everybody or trying to create scare. This is just saying, hey, it's a certainty, it's a mathematical certainty that markets always find a collapse, because when you get some industries that get too hot, like right now the biotech field and things like that are way too hot right now, and there's a lot of overvaluation. So a good market meltdown would actually help clean up the week and bring you back stronger companies as you look at them. And that'll be what we'll come back and talk about when we come back. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Dan Stesich from Athena Private Wealth. Check him out, and you also catch him on Varney on Wednesdays, as well as BNN for my friends in Canada and CNBC. He does it all. He comes to the Bubba Show, and this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org and check out our new hedging programs. They tie right into some of the things that we're talking about here on air. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Dan Stesich, the big angry redhead. You catch him all over the place in the media. He's here, he's there. Smart guy, been around for a long time. So Dan, when we look at the market, and I say that it's not that I'm bearish, it's not that I want to create fear for anybody, but mathematically, there's a pretty good certainty that at some time, and who knows when, the market will have a major haircut once again, only to weed out all the weak. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt it's going to happen, and you're right, mathematically it does. It seems like it's about every 10 years, so we're a couple years away from it, but it doesn't have to be 10 years. And it's just important to be aware of it and be prepared for it. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's one of those times when the market gets killed, people tend to panic, and they start dumping out of the stock. That's the worst time to do it, and it's the best time to talk to somebody, anybody, about your investments that you have on and what they think is going to happen going forward.
So, Dan, now we've got, of course, you mentioned it earlier, and Donald Trump was on a couple of days ago, and he said Janet Yellen is under the thumb of President Obama and not going to raise rates because, you know, they want to keep the same dovish theory and they want to get it. They don't want a conservative in there because they don't want to change what they're doing. Do you put any stock into what he says? Is he full of hot air? Do you agree, disagree, or what's your thoughts?
Well, he is full of hot air, but not necessarily in this instance. In this case, you know, the Fed is supposed to be an independent agency, and the reality is it's a political agency. It's a political appointee. So there's going to be some political bias in the appointments out there. Now, as far as Janet Yellen keeping rates low for Obama when he retires, I don't think that's the case. But they tend to be leaning on the dovish side here, and I don't know that that's a good thing. I'd like to see more. Everybody would like to see more of a normalization of rates out there, just so that we can get to the point where, hey, you know what? Rates will have to go up because the economy is doing stronger. The more that they sit back and they wait on this, just leads me to believe that there's something not good going on in this economy. And I'm not fully bearish yet. I'm not even close to bearish, but I certainly am hedging right now.
So, Dan, when we look at the now the political format, and of course now it's basically all politics all the time, and you've got obviously all these candidates that, you know, I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of this 18-month or two-year campaign stuff. I think it's a big waste of time. I think it's a big waste of money, and I think it needs to be changed. But for now, this is the system we have. Has anybody in the debates or in the political world here gotten to you? Is anybody making more sense than the other? Is there something that you're seeing that's bothering you about what's going on? Give us your views of what you're seeing just from an independent. You don't have to put your position out there, but what are you seeing that's good or bad in this new political arena that we're seeing right now?
Well, the biggest problem I see, and I alluded to it early on, is either the far left or the far right is trying to dictate what's going on. And that's bad for the economy because everybody has an ideological, well, not everybody, a lot of people have an ideological view. But people that have a view with compromise are the ones we have to listen to. And I would venture to say well over 80% of this country leans left or right, and I don't care which side they lean, but we want to get things done. But it seems too often right now that the far right side of the party, the far left side of the party, is holding the central part of the party hostage. I'd like to see people say, hey, I've had enough. This is what we're going to do. We're going to work together regardless of what your viewpoint. And right now, you have a presidential candidate on the Democratic side that is way, way far to the left. And you have a couple in the Republican Party that way, way far to the right. Will they compromise? I don't know. I don't think Hillary will compromise. Trump might. He's been a businessman, although he's not going to be the candidate. The guy I'd like to see probably more than anybody in there would be Marco Rubio. He's got the best shot at this point to be the nominee, maybe even a Chris Christie, but I think he's got too much baggage on him right now to make things happen. But in answer, in some of this, the answer here is we need to see people get away from the, the antagonistic political
the beating down of everybody else instead of just looking at the issues correctly. Now, don't you find it problematic that every commentator and people around it, even people in the political space, say, well, he doesn't have a political background, so he wouldn't be a good candidate? I mean, where is it written that you have to be a crooked politician to be able to win an election?
Oh, I agree with you there 100%. The whole thing about not being a politician. I just don't like Trump. I don't think he's right for this country. Now, Ben Carson, on the other hand, he's actually a very intelligent guy. People question some of his comments that he makes. Now, he has a brain surgeon. And obviously, he's a very measured man. He doesn't get outrageously crazy one way or the other. He seems to think things through clearly. That's the type of candidate I want to see, whether it's a politician or a non-politician. But a non-politician certainly can do the job. Because here's the reality. Have the politicians been doing the job lately? Certainly not.
Well, don't you think that the political space has gotten too... It's always about... And listen, life is about money. We know that. But, you know, those guys are always about the money. And the real problem is you've got the big money. And I won't put out names, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or those guys. I won't say that. But they equally donate to both sides of the aisle so that they're always in favor. Don't you think there should be a problem with that? Shouldn't you have to pick a side? I mean, don't we believe in, you know, why should I, because I've got the most money in the world, be able to be on everybody's good side, when the truth of the matter is, don't you think we should be able to pick a side instead of being able to just wishy-washy go both ways?
Yeah, absolutely should. But the business leaders, some that you mentioned, they're as much politicians as a politician. So they're going to throw money around so that when it comes down to promoting their agenda, they can have it done. So the answer to that is to get rid of these political interest groups, political donations, but that's not going to happen. So I don't know how you can check and balance that. Right now, you know, there's been a lot of issues in the Supreme Court, and they kind of said you can give whatever you want to whoever you want. So the PACs, unfortunately, are ruling the roost right now, although it didn't work so well for Jeb Bush this time.
Well, I understand it. Look, again, I don't like the whole way the system is set up right now. I think our founding fathers are rolling over in their proverbial graves there looking at what's going on here, because this has become a war on who can spend the most money, not on who can do the best job. And I think the bigger problem here is you've got guys like Warren Buffett, and I will single him out this time. And, you know, about a year ago, he went through his big BS about the inversion. Okay. And he, no. And it's terrible. And it's got to be outlawed. And of course, 2 weeks after he said that, he went and bought the company in Canada so he could revert his taxes. Now, to me, that's a bunch of crap. And I don't like when guys do that. I mean, if you want to stand by something, stand for it and quit wavering. And, you know, look, you said earlier, let's get them to lower the tax rate so we can bring all this money back to this country so that these people can actually put companies to work and put people to work. You agree with that?
Hey, Todd, you completely broke up there. I got the crux of it, but I don't know if it's you or if it's me.
It must be you, my brother, but we're coming up to the end. What we'll do is instead of, I'll answer it for you, and I know it's a tough connection, so I'll say goodbye to our man, Dan Sessions, Athena Private Wealth. We appreciate you being on the show today, my man.
Thank you, Todd. I always have a good time. I'm sorry about that. But real quick answer to the inversion thing and Warren Buffett, that's a classic case of, you know, saying one thing, being ideological about it, but doing the exact opposite. And there's no need for that in our economy right now. Let's stop the us against them, and let's start doing what's good for all of us.
Let's start doing us, and that would be the way it would be. This is our man, Dan Stesic, smart guy, great guy, understands it. And, you know, we love to bust on him a little bit, but, you know, he gets it. And again, it's there's a lot of problems out there that need to be dealt with. And hopefully we will get them dealt with. But under the current administrations, under the current rules, it does not look to be the case. But what is the case is that the Badger and myself are running together, and we talked about it today a lot extensively on the program with Dan, who is a money manager, the importance of hedging your portfolio. And I'm going to tell you that the strategy that we have developed for the individual is for the individual. Okay, with liberty and justice for all. No, it is for the individual that will help you defend whatever amount of money you are trying to defend. And it will keep you in the game, and you will be able to sleep at night, and you will be able to build that endowment model, and you will be able to compound your money. And there's nothing better than compounding cash. Just listen to anybody who ever talks about it. They talk about it with the stars in their eyes. Go to thebubbashow.org. Check it out. Email me if you have any questions. But for today, we thank our friend Dan Stesic from Athena Private Wealth. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as always, if you want to catch the show on demand, go to libertytalk.fm and get the show. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you all back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.